morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, friends. Hello on this Friday, TGIF, right? May 29th already, Pentecost, Sunday this weekend. Lots to look forward to. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you, getting our morning started today, and want to remind you, our studio line is 503-589-1220. Have something to share that you'd like to talk to us about? We certainly would love to have you call if you have a question, even for our guest that's on the show today. We'd love to hear from you. Remember, you can listen to us live streaming at KSLM.news and be our friend on Facebook at KSLM Radio. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And our news today, looking at the headlines across the region, is brought to us by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Lots going on in the news, but first and foremost, this is exciting news that I can use, certainly, and maybe you too. My gym is opening up this morning. They were supposed to open up at 5. I will hope to get over there this afternoon. Planet Fitness is where I like to work out, and they're opening up today, and that's exciting news. Also, just around the corner on June 5th, state camping reservations. I don't know if you've taken a peek yet, but apparently they've kind of cleared out the slate, and on June 5th, you can make your reservations for any of the state camping grounds here in Oregon. That's exciting, and tomorrow, if you're like many of us that are still waiting to hear from the state in regards to unemployment, there will be another hearing. Apparently, it's going to be a three-hour hearing at the Capitol tomorrow. It's going to be attended by you and I virtually, but there will be another hearing, and I think it's important that we tune in for that. And I wanted to let you know, too, and we got an update from our friend Danielle Bethel. She sent a little note out saying, "Hi, friends in Marion County and beyond. Catholic Community Services will be distributing food boxes free of charge starting tomorrow. Please share. USDA Farm Food to Family Distributed Program by Catholic Community Services. 420 19-pound boxes of dairy products, milk, cheese, and yogurt, etc. from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So that's going to take place. You can call Catholic Community Services. You can give them a call at 503-390-2600 for more information. And, of course, she keeps us updated through United Way of what's going on for resources. And I want to remind folks, some people are getting at that critical stage where they haven't gotten their unemployment and their stimulus check has run out. And there's some critical needs out there right now. Don't forget about a valuable resource that we have in our community, in our state, and that's 211. 211, everywhere I've lived, Arkansas, South Dakota, now here, has been an invaluable service that connects all your community services together. And you dial 211 based on your zip code, whatever your need is, whether it be health care, housing, paying your utility bill, whatever. They'll link you with community services right in your community, and it's of invaluable services. And, of course, we're continuing to monitor and keep our eyes on the lawsuit out of Baker County. As you know, the judge decided in Baker County to put an injunction on the governor's overreach. And we're very, very attuned to what's going on with Judge Shurtcliffe's decision, who decided, no, I want to carry forth. And now this is going on to the Oregon Supreme Court. And I'm pleased to have on the line with me today Kevin Mannix, who is representing Common Sense for Oregon. He's representing the interveners. He's teamed up with Ray Hackey with the Pacific Justice Institute, and together they're representing businesses and churches moving forward. And I want to give a little background on Kevin. We've been really blessed to have Kevin on our show a couple different times and getting to know him. And he's probably one of the first Oregonians I actually had a chance to meet and talk politics with right here when I first moved back. And Kevin is an accomplished attorney, a former Oregon legislator, former chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, and a dedicated community leader. He's been married to Susanna for 45 years, and they have 3 children and 4 grandchildren. Kevin graduated from college at the University of Virginia in 1971 and received his law degree from the University of Virginia School of Law in 1974. He has served as a law clerk to the Oregon Court of Appeals, Assistant Attorney General in Oregon, Assistant Attorney General U.S. Territory of Guam, and Administrative Law Judge in Oregon. In January 1986, Kevin established his own law firm right here in Salem, Oregon, and continues with his own private practice today. He handles business law as well as legal representation for foundations and nonprofits. He served 5 terms, that's 10 years in the Oregon House of Representatives, and a partial term in the Oregon Senate. Kevin's been a member of the East Salem Rotary since 1982. He led a team which founded the Blanchet Catholic School, not owned by the church, in 1995. He served as a chairman of the Blanchet Board for 23 years until of June of 2018. He is the founder and executive director of Oregon Port of Willamette LLC, which proposes to build an intermodal transload facility in Brooks. And he is also with Common Sense for Oregon. Kevin, so glad to have you along today. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, Stacey Ann. It's nice to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to have you, and I know you're a busy man these days, and I know about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I kept getting lots of calls and emails and people wanting to know how can they be of help, what they can do, how can we write, it's not like working in the legal system is not like a grassroots efforts to influence an elected leader, is it? It's a completely different mode of looking at the law, and I'm so glad to have you on the line to kind of talk about how important it is, the way that you're going about addressing this need that we have in Oregon.
Well, first I want to mention the Common Sense for Oregon Foundation has been around for 11 years, and it is now supporting our intervention in this case. Folks who want to help the foundation can always send a contribution to Common Sense for Oregon Foundation, 2007, that's 2007, State Street, right here in Salem, 97301. Also want to mention that in terms of personal action, people should not write to the judges or to the Supreme Court. That's not appropriate because this is litigation and we should leave the judges alone. But who you should write to would be Governor Kate Brown, or better yet, your own legislator, and ask your legislator, why aren't you doing something to insist that the legislature be called into special session so they can address the coronavirus pandemic and address what ought to be done in the state of Oregon without allowing the governor to have dictatorial powers, the claim to these extraordinary powers under her executive orders, to be able to micromanage our lives, the most incredible micromanagement we have ever seen, all in the name of controlling the coronavirus pandemic. And please don't get me wrong. I want everyone out there to be paying attention to guidelines about how you can prevent transmission of the disease. Let's be respectful of one another. But when the governor tells our churches how they can manage their religious services, when the governor closes down businesses and then goes through this process now where it's Mother May I, that childhood game where the counties, which usually have their own governments, have to apply to the governor for permission to go through stages of reopening. This is the kind of power structure that you might see in what used to be called a banana republic, where you go to Central America and you find these dictators issuing, emergency declarations. So yes, we represent a populist response. I want to give credit to the Pacific Justice Institute and Ray Hackey, because I've known Ray for 2 years now, and I've supported what they're trying to do. They're an advocate for religious liberty, and in this case, we started talking about their intervention on behalf of churches and individuals, and I fully supported that. Common Sense for Oregon supports that. Then we thought, well, we'll come in too as interveners. We'll bring in a couple of more people that are challenging this on behalf of, and by the way, I was embarrassed the Catholics weren't involved at the beginning, so I brought in a couple of Catholic parishioners to say, hey, I can't attend Mass under all these restrictions, but I also brought in a bunch of local government officials and business people who have been harmed by this, and we were called interveners. We jumped into the case in support of Ray Hackey's lawsuit and the Pacific Justice Institute lawsuit. So we're partners in this, and we argued the case together in front of Judge Matt Shercliffe. It was a three-hour hearing. 5 days later, this circuit court judge courageously determined that the governor had exceeded her powers with these executive orders and the declarations of emergency, that the statutes only allow 28 days, and then after that, the governor really needs to go to the legislature if she wants to continue to have these extraordinary powers. So Judge Shercliffe made that ruling that same afternoon. The governor rushed to the Supreme Court and got a temporary stay, meaning temporarily hold on that order, because he issued an injunction saying these executive orders were no longer enforceable, that they had violated the law. Now, the Supreme Court issued a temporary stay. Then they issued what's called an alternative writ of mandamus, which many in the media misunderstood. They didn't order the judge that he had to do just one thing. They gave him three options: say nothing, and that way the case still is with the Supreme Court, or stand by your decision, and then it's still with the Supreme Court, or back down and vacate your injunction. He did not back down, and he was not silent. He issued a letter saying, I stand by my decision, and that came out on Tuesday of this week. God bless him for standing up. He's in my Profiles of Courage pantheon of heroic folks, a circuit court judge standing up to all of this. And that meant the case has stayed in the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the state filed their brief. The Supreme Court of Oregon has put this on a short time frame, and we have to file our brief, and Ray will file his brief by Tuesday. And then this matter is in front of the Supreme Court. In the meantime, if the governor had any respect for the representatives of the people, the members of the House of Representatives, the senators, she could have called a special session. If she really thinks that her almighty powers as governor are so important that she has to be able to do these things, call the legislature into a special session. And she could have done that Monday afternoon, even as she was going to the Supreme Court. She's not done so. Now she's talking about a special session to deal with the budget shortfalls, which are serious, which were caused by her lockdown on our economy. 17% reduction of tax revenues, so they do need to deal with it. But it's interesting to me that she's more interested in having a special session to help her deal with budgetary issues, but she's ignoring having a special session to deal with what is the plan for Oregon's future. Instead, it's Kate Brown's plan. This is how the counties will come to her to ask her permission to go through phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4. This is an incredible situation. I'm getting excited here. This is just an incredible situation where we're letting this governor assume dictatorial powers over our churches and economy, and it's just not acceptable. Phew! I feel better already.
I love it. I love it. And we're getting ready to go back into a break. And when we come back, I have a few questions for you. You laid the beautiful foundation of where we're going next. Thank you so much. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We have Kevin Mannix on the line with us. So excited to get updated by Kevin on where we're at exactly in the Baker County decision. You know, standing for our life, liberty, our religious freedom. You know, we have freedom by our constitution of religion, not from religion. And we've got Pentecost Sunday coming up this Sunday. I don't know about you, friends. That matters to me. Maybe it does to you, too. We'll be back right after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning, Salem, Turner, Kaiser. If you're in Arkansas, I want to give a shout out to my family in Arkansas listening. Mom and Dad and everybody, thank you for tuning in to this wonderful Friday morning. Of course, we are Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're talking about our life and liberty and our constitutional right, protected right to assemble, to worship, and to really, I never thought that I'd be in a place where someone would say you can't go to church. And I believe a part of that, when there's fear and when there is uncertainty and when our health is at risk, even in our healing process, to ignore the spiritual component of that, I just never thought I'd ever be in this place. I know people have said, oh, in the future, you know, our rights might be taken away or our Bibles will be hidden or whatever. If we don't stand up now for the overreach and the things, it's like a frog in boiling water in my mind. And we have Kevin Mannix on the line with us, and he is working alongside Ray Hackey in the Pacific Justice Institute on he's an intervener representing the interveners, which is so critical. Interveners are a very powerful aspect to a lawsuit, in my understanding, because having been an intervener, currently an intervener on a pro-life work, I know that by having interveners, it gives you an opportunity, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin Mannix, it gives you an opportunity to do some discovery, bring in some testimony and things, the for instance, into a case to show how things are being impacted. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct in terms of a what I'll call an ongoing trial. Mm-hmm. In this case, what we were able to do with the 11 interveners that I brought in, each of them filed an affidavit. And because we're in a preliminary injunction phase, you're not really trying the full case. But interveners do get to bring other perspectives to the case. So having worked with Ray and supported his initial complaint, he knew we quickly put together a team of interveners to come in to add to the dimensions. The initial complaint was about religious services. We came in and we said we support that, but we also come in on behalf of local government officials, and we come in on behalf of business people who've been harmed by these executive orders of the governor. By the way, she has now issued 20, count them, 20
wow.
executive orders restricting our lives in regard to the coronavirus. So, for instance, one of our interveners is the chair of the Baker County Commission. Another is a member of the Grant County Commission. Another is the Grant County Sheriff, mm-hmm. to bring in those perspectives. But then I also brought in a business person who has a restaurant and has 20 employees, and because they had to shift to pick up service only, they had to reduce hours for every one of those employees to one day a week.
Hmm.
So they're all heavily, partially unemployed, you might say, and the business is bleeding money in terms of trying to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple who own a couple of hotels, motels out in rural Oregon, who've lost all their reservations and are bleeding badly in terms of summer is the biggest time for people to go into eastern Oregon. Another is a couple who have a I'll call it a small business complex where the tenants have been giving notice that, well, the law says I don't have to pay rent and it's tough for me right now. These are the kinds of folks we brought forward. A fellow who has an auto parts store who had to lay off a couple of employees because their business is way down and they were restricted in their hours. And what I'm getting at is we brought in these stories of real people.
Right.
And then I brought in, because our brethren in the, I'll call them the Protestant and evangelical community, were the churches that started this, God bless them. I thought, well, you know, let's get a couple of Catholic mm-hmm. parishioners in. So we have someone who's a parishioner from Deschutes County, another parishioner from Baker County, say, hey, I can't go to Mass. I go to Mass every Sunday with my family. I can't go to Mass now. And raising that issue, it's just another perspective on all of the folks out there whose lives have been affected. Now, I'll add quickly, we don't want to forget the churches are responsible people.
Yes.
They're not going to go in and crowd into a room and all of a sudden be spreading coronavirus. They're going to take steps to be careful. At the same time, Baker County, when we Ray and I talked about this, we agreed to start in Baker County because at the time they had zero coronavirus cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have one.
Right.
There are rural counties with one or two or three or four cases, and yet the entire county suffered through 2 months of lockdowns. Oh, and now the jailer governor, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put it that way, is now saying, well, I'll open up the cell every once in a while. I'll open up a little bit. We'll release you a little bit, and then you can come back to me and ask permission, and I'll release you a little more. And we're saying, who gave you that authority? All right, I'll calm down.
Well, in the reality, for a lot of these businesses, we had on the air earlier this week, Enchanted Forest, a family-run business locally here for over 49 years, who came up with several different plans and has, instead of, they've been working with the county, but they went straight to the governor, and they keep getting shot down. They're trying to stay viable. Here's a business that has been debt-free for many years and now has to take on debt just to pay, employees and get things ready, and costs that they incur to get ready for their season that should have opened up March 20th. So all of these families, these small business, mom and pop, family-owned businesses, have their livelihood on the line, their ability to provide for their family on the line, and then yet many of their employees have not even been able to get unemployment.
Well, in fact, this is, besides the bureaucratic fiasco with unemployment insurance not being paid out, which shows to me a deaf ear to, all those public employees who are working at home, bring a few more of them in and transfer them to the employment department. By the way, the people working in the employment department are good people.
Yes.
They're working hard. They are overwhelmed. But the governor needs to be, if they're going to, with this scenario, needs to be moving some personnel around to help out. Let me talk about Enchanted Forest for a moment. My kids, and now my grandkids, have been to Enchanted Forest.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through there. It's a wonderful place. It's a great experience. It's a family experience. You learn about fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
And I read about their situation, and this is just incredible. It's an open-air activity.
Right.
But look at our state fair, the first time ever. We didn't close it during World War II, but we've already announced ahead of time the state fair is closed. We are shutting down Oregon Traditions, the St. Paul Rodeo. And I respect the people in charge. Looking ahead, months ahead, they have to plan ahead. And they know what a negative environment they're dealing with in terms of government restrictions. So they can't be sure that they could go ahead and open and not lose money.
They're erring on the side of being careful and caution. But the downside of that is people lose hope. The things that they get back to normal to being taken away. We are talking with Kevin Mannix, attorney at law, right here in Salem, Oregon. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. It's 7:35 on this wonderful Friday. Thank you for tuning in. Going to be a beautiful day. Temperature getting up to 85 degrees today, currently at the KSLM studio. 63 degrees. Had an opportunity to drop off a bunch of newspapers yesterday at Clayton Ward Recycling and found out that they're accepting concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel, also cardboard, newspaper, and office paper. You know, this is great news if you've been working on those landscaping projects around the house because you've been home. You can bring all of that there. There may be some charges may apply, but no charge on many of the items. And the best part is there is no waiting, easy unloading, fast and friendly service. Family owned and operated, Clayton Ward Recycling off of Mainline Drive in Kaiser. They're open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday from 7 to 3. Give them a call, 503-393-8700. And Kevin, we were on the phone talking with you today about the Baker County decision. Thank you for spending your time with us. I know you got a lot on your plate today, and it's important that people hear directly from you on how they can be of support. And kind of, I guess, the questions that I'm hearing is what's the timeline? Like, what does this look like? So you got to get your information in, and then you get a chance to actually go and discuss this in front of the Supreme Court, if I understand it right.
Well, in fact, for a few precious hours on Monday, May 18, after the circuit court judge entered his injunction order, the injunction means that a court has stopped something from being enforced and from happening. Everyone could breathe free for a few hours until the governor ran to the Supreme Court. And look, I don't blame the Supreme Court. It's a weighty issue. They issued a temporary stay pending what's going to happen the next few days. And they have really expedited the hearings in this matter. And so I have no complaint with the Supreme Court about the timing. They have to be judicious about it. So we have a chance here. On Tuesday, Ray for Pacific Justice Institute and the plaintiffs that he represents, and me on behalf of Common Sense for Oregon and our interveners, will file briefs before the Oregon Supreme Court. Now, the state might ask for permission to file a reply brief. Normally, that's not going to be allowed, but they could ask for permission. If that's granted, they'd probably be just given a couple of days to do a reply. So then the matter's in front of the court, and then there's a question as to whether or not they would schedule what's called oral argument, where the justices of the court would hear argument from the attorneys. Now, they are not required to do that. They may decide to just take the briefs that are filed by Tuesday, not allow a reply brief, not allow oral argument. If they decide to schedule oral argument, they'll probably do it, frankly, with a Zoom process. That is, the courts right now are operating with a lot of video appearances and with very limited schedules, by the way. They've been hit hard. In any event, it could be as short as a few days to get a decision from the Supreme Court, or there could be, with a reply brief and scheduling oral argument, it could be a couple of weeks. But I want to give credit to the court because today is only May 29. It's only been 11 days, and by the way, in judicial circles, that's relatively fast for this thing to have moved this far along. And I would hope that we would have some final decision within a couple of weeks, although I'm simply speculating about schedule. So that's where we are in terms of that.
Okay.
Now, in the meantime, Monday is June 1st. And the governor is talking about a special session in June. Well, everyone out there should be contacting your legislators, please, and saying, well, the special session should talk about how long does the governor get to do this? Because the legislature could clarify the law to make it clear that the governor does not have this extraordinary authority. It's never, ever been done before in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. Oh, the general emergency law lets me do this. That law was enacted in 1949, and we have never seen this. And I will add quickly, Governor Ted Kulongoski, back in 2009, dealing with the swine flu, issued an executive order that did a number of public health things, but it did not close down churches and businesses, and he did not invoke the public health emergency provisions, even though they're on the books. Instead, they used the regular public health process to deal with outbreaks of swine flu, and they took care of it. So here I am. I know you're being kind, and I'm almost giving a speech here, but what I'm saying is this has never happened before, and legislators, darn it, address the issue. You have the power to make a difference. And if you're going to be in session to deal with budgets, how about dealing with this issue?
Exactly. And if the decision is made, the Supreme Court, the decision that they're making then would be to allow the injunction to stay in place, correct?
Correct.
Or not. That's really their decision.
Yes. They can, basically, that's it.
Okay.
And if the injunction stays in place, then the governor backs away from all of the superpower stuff she's been doing. She no longer gets to demand that counties come to her on bended knee begging for reopening authority. Instead, she can use the public health authorities at the state and work with the counties to say, all right, what needs to be done? Let's talk together about what should be done in any community to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. Here are guidelines about how to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if you don't obey her orders, it's a Class C misdemeanor.
Right.
Come on. Making criminals out of people who want to give haircuts, and it's just incredible.
And the difficulty is when I, for my birthday was May 15th, and I took a little trip. I needed to see the ocean, and I went up to Seaside, which had opened up. They weren't encouraging outsiders really to come in, but I went to a couple mom-and-pop shops, and they fall through the cracks completely. And, you know, they're touristy. They're not used to all the heavy-handed regulation, but they're very good at keeping their store tidy and clean and all of that. They're in so much fear of getting in trouble and getting, you know, with the ability already for 2.5 months to not operate. And then in the future, there's a lot of fear and a lot of worry. And it doesn't feel like America, Kevin.
Well, that's why I made reference earlier to, I mean, people that pay attention to history, banana republics. We used to make fun of some of the small countries in Latin America where they had dictatorships and they were coming and going, and these dictators could issue their emergency orders and overcome the local elected officials. Right now, your county commissioners are handcuffed. They're being told by the governor that they have to come to her for permission for what's going to happen in their counties. This is wrong, and it's not the democratic process. And by the way, some legislators are sending letters to their constituents saying, oh, the governor has authority under the general emergency law. Well, if she does, if you really believe that, and if you think this is good, you better stand up for it. Because if you think it's wrong, then change the law. They
yes.
have the power to do it.
Yes.
Again, I'm excited about this, and I'm angry at the same time I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that the judicial process will work. I'm excited about the public paying attention to what's going on in our government, and I hope we will insist in this election season that we elect responsible people who will stand up for the people and resist this kind of oppressive conduct by the executive branch of government.
I'm a big fan of Esther in the Bible. You know, that book of Esther doesn't even mention the word God once, but it talks about the honor and the respect. And one of the words, one of the phrases that I use often for such a time as this, I believe all of your experience, all of your service, all of your everything that you've done, Kevin, this is a real pinpoint time in your life. And God is certainly using you and Ray for such a time as this to stand for our liberty in Oregon, but also setting a precedence across the country. And I just want to honor you and thank you for being saying yes to the call and being willing to use your skill, talent, time, and treasure in a way that's really advocating for everyday Oregonians. And I think we have a responsibility to make sure that we elect people that line up with our values coming up in November and contact our elected leaders. Like you said, they're kind of hiding, aren't they, a little bit? Not all of them, but some of them are in hiding or trying to hide in the shadows of the governor's actions. We need to hold them into account. I agree. How do people get a hold of Common Sense for Oregon and give funds, get support to you, pass the word along? How do they do that?
Well, first, we do have a website. Common Sense for Oregon has a website. You can go there, and there we're posting all the significant documents about what we're doing. We'll certainly post our brief there. We posted our big memorandum that we filed with the Supreme Court a week ago. It was just a week ago on May.
Wow.
And then also, if they want to do a contribution, they can, because this is a nonprofit, we've got four attorneys working on this. To Common Sense for Oregon, 2007 State Street, Salem, 97301, and that money will be applied towards supporting this litigation.
Well, I appreciate your time. I know your time is precious right now. We keep you in our prayers. We wish you happy Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for what you're doing, Kevin. And I encourage our listeners certainly to go to the website, commonsensefororegon.com. Keep in tune. We, of course, share that on our Facebook page. Any updates that you get, Kevin, any press releases, we keep everybody in tune there as well. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Yes, have a great day. So you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and we're continuing to bring people in to give us encouragement, education, and power, and get us to engage. And I love what he said there. We have a responsibility to get a hold of our elected leaders. Now, you may say, well, my elected leader isn't in the same party that I vote for. That's especially important that they hear from you, that you have your talking points, you be very polite. You get a hold of them and say, look, these are the three things that are impacting me personally, and these are the things that I'm concerned about with liberty. And it's important that we talk about this with our family and friends and encourage them to do the same. Because if we continue to be heard, continue to give them our insight and how this is affecting us, eventually they're not going to be able to have a deaf ear. If they continue on so, there'll be consequences, right, in November. That's how it should work. The best government is the local government. And I just want to give a shout out to our Marion County and Polk County commissioners. They've been working really hard behind the scenes to make sure that they can get a good plan together so that we can continue to open. It's been 1 week here in Marion and Polk County that we've been open. I've sure enjoyed it. I'm hoping you are too. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. After we come back, How about some phone calls? You want to give us a call? 503-589-1220. I'd like to hear from you. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. It's 7:50 in the morning. What a nice day before us. In fact, it's going to be up to 85 degrees. I don't know if you had a chance to get out and stroll yesterday. It was interesting, even listening to some of the news this morning, early this morning, people were like, it was hot yesterday. And I was kind of giggling a little bit because where I come from in Northwest Arkansas, you know, when it gets about 80, it also is very high in humidity and it gets sticky. And to me, that seems warmer than it was here yesterday, but it's a beautiful day again today. Temperature right now here in the studio is 63 degrees. Now, looking forward the next few days, looks like Saturday we could see some rain at 62 degrees and a little cooler, and then Sunday about 67, partly cloudy. But getting into next week, Monday through Thursday, temperatures mild in the mid-70s, just as we like it here in the Willamette Valley. And then towards the weekend again, maybe some showers. So as you're looking at your planning for this week and what you want to do, I think it's pretty exciting times to be getting in the yard, doing some things. Perhaps, I know I'm looking forward to going back to the gym. That is something that I've missed the last few months. And it's funny, you know, we have memberships and we pay our memberships and things, and maybe a week will go by and we don't go, or maybe 2 weeks, maybe three, and we're thinking, oh, should I even be paying that fee? And then when you don't have that opportunity to go, it's like every day you're thinking, ah, I wish I could go to the gym, right? And where we live, right on our property where we live, where our townhome is, there's also a little gym and community center and even a swimming pool right there. We don't even know if the pool will open this year. So there's a lot of things, a lot of unknowns. What are you dealing with in your life right now? What are you concerned about as we're reopening? We still have a little time this morning. If you want to call in and talk to me, I'd love to visit with you. 503-589-1220. That's our studio line. I'd like to hear what you're going to do even this weekend. Maybe you have something special that you're going to do. Maybe your church service is going to happen outside instead of indoors, you know, with social distancing. I heard one church, they're going to telling everybody to bring their lawn chairs. They're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, I think up in Washington, which is more constrained than we are right here. You know, I want to bring back up a point that was brought up in the last segment when we were talking with Kevin Mannix and talking about this lawsuit out of Baker County and talking about our personal responsibility in voting. Several people have commented to me, and I've read online and also in the news headlines, about concern about their ballots being switched, that they've been registered one party and their ballots have been switched to another. And this is concerning. And I found out just recently that you have an opportunity to look online and see how your ballot was processed by going to the Secretary of State site. So that's encouraging. I'm excited to bring on the line right now. Hi, Art. How are you today?
I'm great, Stacy. Absolutely.
This is our first time talking on the air. Thank you.
And say it's really good to see Kevin Mannix reengaged in the political affairs of our state. He's been quiet for a while, was really involved many years ago, but it's good to see him stepping back into the arena and exposing the fact that our government leaders are not following the laws and doing what they should be doing for the people of Oregon.
Yes, exactly. They've had an opportunity to bring all of his skill, his working and his representation. He knows it. He knows the law side. He knows the representation side. Art, when you think about Oregon and being an Oregonian, how critical is this lawsuit in your mind?
Stacy, can you hear me? It seems like we got a bad connection.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't quite hear your question there, but I, I can say I've lived in Oregon most of my life, and it's good to see things going, I guess you could say, backwards, and us doing, you know, really being proactive for all Oregonians and their right, and holding our government leaders accountable for following laws and doing what they should be doing instead of, you know, cutting deals and doing things and not being transparent. And I know Kevin will do us all a good job to protect our rights.
Yes, he's doing a great job. He's at a point right now.
Have a great weekend, Stacy. You got a terrible connection today. Hopefully we'll have a better one next time.
Thank you, Art. Thank you for calling in. Call again soon.
Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you, Art, for calling in. And certainly sometimes being on the phone line and the technical side of things is a little bit of a challenge, but we'll get right through it. Interesting, I got a press release from the Kim Thatcher campaign. And of course, Kim Thatcher is a Republican running for Secretary of State, independent party primary election. Also elected and said Kim Thatcher is who they want for the Secretary of State. So now we have the Independent Party as well as the Republican Party behind Kim Thatcher. And it says Kim Thatcher's name will now be on the general election ballot as a candidate of choice for two political parties in the race for Oregon's next Secretary of State. Last Tuesday, Thatcher won the Republican primary with 86% of the vote. Her second victory came when the Independent Party Oregon announced in a tweet, "With all eligible ballots returned, the final results of our election are unchanged." Thatcher, a state senator from Kaiser, said, "I'm energized and enthusiastic to earn the nomination of the Independent Party members and non-affiliated voters across the state." The IPL held a special six-way online fusion election from late April through May 19th, the traditional primary election date. Last week, the preliminary vote count showed Thatcher in the lead for the IPO election over the five other candidates. They included her Republican opponent and three Democrat challengers for the regular primary, a member of the Independent Party and non-affiliated candidate. The Secretary of State should serve in a nonpartisan way that is by the book, open, and fair to everyone, explained Thatcher. To me, this position means you're not only representing Republicans or Democrats, rural or urban residents, but all Oregonians. So congratulations going out to Kim Thatcher. And certainly the Secretary of State position is extremely important in most states, certainly this state. There's a lot of conversation going on about the mail-in ballot and fraudulent activities. I do believe that it's important that you track your personal vote and make sure that it got processed the way, and then it even got processed, received and processed. I'm excited to go on here a little bit later today and see that my vote, I physically took it up there to Marion County. Hopefully it did indeed get processed. And you know, your vote matters. I heard recently that the very first time Governor Brown was elected to anything, she won by 7 votes. Elections have consequences, and those closest to us, we can hold their feet to the fire, and that's very, very important. So get registered to vote if you're not registered. Look at your party. Make sure it lines up with your values. And we're just several weeks away from November 3rd, right? It'll be here before we know it. Stay informed, stay engaged, and my friends, Pentecost Sunday coming up. Have a blessed weekend, and remember, no matter what you're facing, over, under, around, or through, we are overcomers. Have a blessed weekend.